is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical. It's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's Thursday, and glad to have you aboard today. It's the Steve Gruber Show. If we're going to spend $500 million, I guess we better find out more. More information is always better if we're going to spend that kind of money, and it appears that we probably are. Maybe more than that, but the problems with Flint is going to cost tens of millions of dollars, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. If Candace Miller had her way, we'd spend $2 billion on it right now. Of course, you know, who would suggest such a thing unless you're planning to run for governor? Let's give that some thought. Do you think Candace Miller is going to run for governor? Let me just put that out there. An investigation has found that the state of Michigan is, quote, fundamentally accountable for Flint's lead-contaminated water crisis because of decisions made by its environmental regulators and state-appointed emergency managers. A task force appointed by Governor Rick Snyder issued a report saying failures within all levels of government led Flint water users to be exposed to toxic levels of lead. The probe found failings at the state health department, governor's office, and elsewhere. In this little clip we're going to hear here, you're going to hear Governor Snyder and Chris Kolb from the task force. Clip one, go.
This is an important day in terms of a report being given to the public. If you go back to October of last year, when I first learned that lead was an issue in terms of being informed by state departments of this problem, one of the things I thought was important is we started an independent group to go look at this issue, to go dig into it, to go find out in an unbiased way what the facts were, what the situation was, and come back with recommendations.
The Flint water crisis is a story of government failure, intransigency, unpreparedness, delay, inaction, and environmental injustice. It did occur when state-appointed emergency managers had replaced local representative decision-making. It was a mixture of ignorance, incompetence, and arrogance by many decision-makers that created a toxic and tragic situation that produced the Flint water crisis. And it all could have been avoided and prevented.
This report is being issued, but the action that it's triggering will go on for an extended period of time and for many years, because some of these recommendations deal with long-term health issues of the children and people of Flint, and we're going to follow through. So this is a problem that I made a commitment to fix. This report is a good tool to do that.
No one asked the question, what will happen if we don't have corrosion control treatment in place? The answer to that question is exactly what happened in Flint. And ultimately, the corrosiveness of that water leached out lead into the system, and people were exposed to it.
We should learn from this. There was a change in a water source, and I think if you look at the recommendations they talk about, there's more questions that should have been asked, could have been asked, and more work done when you're making a dramatic change like this that I think people underestimated in many regards.
They missed the boat completely, and it is extremely troublesome to me that an agency whose primary role, once again, is to protect human health in the environment, came to these decisions, and they never backed off those decisions, no matter how many red flags they saw.
And so that's where we are at this point in the conversation. I think that there's a lot to be debated there. And again, no discussion of the fact that the Flint Water Department, violated federal law by not having anti-corrosives in the water or a plan in place as required by federal law by the lead and copper rules. These are important distinctions. You know, I've been talking to people that are up there digging out these water lines. The last time I talked to somebody, they're finding primarily copper lines, not lead service lines. So are we going to pay millions of dollars to replace copper lines that are perfectly good as well? You know, a lot of concerns financially here as to how much money should be spent. I have concerns financially. It can't just be an open checkbook. Well, we feel badly for them because this happened and it's become a political football. So therefore, we're just going to open the checkbook and use all this taxpayer money to paper it over. Well, I don't agree with that. I'm going to guess a lot of you don't either. All right, let's fix the problem. But having it, well, we'll just spend $500, $600, $800 million, whatever it takes. Well, whatever it takes is unrealistic, and it's in, well, it's inappropriate. And it shouldn't happen that way, I can assure you that. Let's see here. Let's move on to politics for a moment. Let's imagine for a moment that Donald Trump isn't going to be the Republican nominee for president. There are three ways this fantasy, and it is likely nothing more than a fantasy, becomes a reality. This is a piece from the New York Post, by the way. One is that something Trump does is so outrageous and disgusting, it knocks him out of the race, and by default, Ted Cruz becomes the nominee. Well, that's a possibility. You can stop right there because, you know, Trump can say just about anything and get away with it. The second is that Cruz could win 80% of the Republican delegates remaining going forward, passing Trump and takes it on the first ballot at the convention in July. Also, not very likely. The third is that Trump doesn't secure enough delegates to win in the first ballot, and the GOP rises up on subsequent ballots to take away from him and give the nomination to someone else. This is possible. Indeed, it's exactly what Cruz and John Kasich, the candidate with absolutely no shot of winning anything, who's staying in the race even though he won't have many delegates on Tuesday night, is well, as I probably do, actually. They shouldn't be at all. In fact, they might as well write their own concession speeches right now. The anti-Trump scenario is this. It's July. The convention is coming. After the final primaries in California and New Jersey on June 7th, Trump ends up with 1,000 to 1,150 delegates, short of the number needed to nominate. Meanwhile, polling shows he'd get crushed by Hillary Clinton. Moreover, state-by-state polling suggests that not only isn't Trump taking states from Hillary, but she's on track to take states away from the GOP's 2012 take, North Carolina, for example, and potentially Arizona. A poll earlier this week suggested Clinton might even take Utah if Trump is the nominee. And as goes Utah, so goes, well, Idaho. A comfortable Obama electoral lead in 2012 bids fair to become a Hillary electoral landslide. That would almost certainly mean the Senate would flip from Republican to Democratic control, with a possibility the House could flip as well. Under these conditions, even the threat of chaos and violence from Trumpkins, who seem not to understand the meaning of the phrase "a majority of the delegates," would be worth testing if somehow the GOP could settle on a candidate who might not win but might change the catastrophic dynamic of the race. That's what they're trying to play out. This is the scenario Cruz and Kasich are hoping for. And in hoping for it, they are taking themselves into political oblivion. That's what I've said before. Let's put it this way. If Trump doesn't get enough delegates to win, why would a GOP let entirely loose from primary and caucus results and able to choose anyone that it wants? Why would they choose a candidate that got less delegates than Donald Trump? Mm-hmm. Do you think a panicked GOP is suddenly going to look favorably on Ted Cruz or John Kasich? I doubt it. I doubt it. And so does the New York Post. Just something else for you to chew on this Thursday morning. It's the Steve Gruber Show. I'll be right back.